Hello and welcome to the first episode of a new podcast series, The Sound of Solidarity. It's brought to you by the revolutionary socialist group Solidarity, based in Australia. It's going to be an occasional series, but we look forward to welcoming lots of activists from across different issues and campaigns to talk to us in the future. My name is David Glanz, and my guest today is Veronica Koman. Veronica is an Indonesian human rights lawyer, exiled in Australia, and someone who has followed and supported very closely the struggle of the people of West Papua for liberation and freedom. She is also in a unique position to tell us about the rise of a solidarity movement within Indonesia with the struggle in West Papua. So let's make Veronica welcome. Yeah, thank you again for your time. First off, because not enough people in Australia are aware of what's happening in West Papua, can you just give us a general picture of what's happening on the ground at the moment?
Yeah, so the struggle of independence of West Papuan people has been going for decades since the 50s. But we are looking at the new unprecedented levels of violence since the Suharto era, the dictator Suharto era, that in past 2.5 years, Indonesia has deployed thousands extra soldiers in West Papua, but at the same time, the National Liberation Army is also getting stronger. So instead of crushing it, the Liberation Army has become stronger. So that's why we are seeing armed conflicts flaring in three regencies right now, and at least 40,000 civilians have been displaced, and they are all unassisted and neglected. So it's a humanitarian crisis. It's a way to describe it.
I get the impression that the movement on the ground for liberation and independence is much stronger and much more confident than in past years. So, for instance, some years ago, to raise the Morning Star flag, which is the flag of West Papuan independence, was done very quickly, and a picture was taken, it was taken down. Now I'm seeing video of marches of hundreds, sometimes thousands of people flying the flag. There seems to be a big increase in confidence. Is that the case?
That was actually the flag raising happened during the 2009 West Papua uprising. That was definitely happening, and it was very powerful indeed. But after that, not really anymore, because to own a Morningstar flag can lead you to treason charges that has up to 20 years in prison. West Papuans now can't even speak freely, be it on the street or even nowadays. There's been an increasing West Papuans on internet over Facebook posts, they are being arrested over Facebook posts criticizing Indonesian security forces. So it's unimaginable right now to raise the flag, because you can't even speak on Facebook. That's how life and how bad the freedom of expression of West Papuan people have right now.
No, I appreciate that, and thank you for the correction. Nonetheless, I have been seeing on social media, often through your posts, very large public mobilizations of people in West Papua. Am I right in thinking that there has been an increase in the level of struggle generally?
Yes, definitely. Thanks to the 2019 West Papua uprising, that more and more West Papuan civilians, they realize that there's no other way, that it's hopeless to live under Indonesian racist rule. And it also has, we have unprecedented, the solidarity among Indonesian people is also increasingly growing. on unprecedented scale. It has never happened before. And now on social media, for example, Indonesians can discuss freely. But we can discuss about how Indonesia is colonizing, occupying West Papua. So there's that kind of discussion right now. So more Indonesians realize that we need to correct the that our people, I mean Indonesian people, treatment against West Papuans.
Can you give us some idea of what the resistance consists of? Because we've seen large public demonstrations, but you also referred to the National Liberation Army. So what is the West Papuan resistance today?
So the Papuan resistance consists of the non-violent struggle and also the armed struggle, and they are very disciplined about it. The armed struggle is the West Papua National Liberation Army, one of the oldest National Liberation Armies in the world, and they are using guerrilla tactics in the jungle. And while the non-violent wing of the movement is basically getting very strong, both armed and non-violent wings are getting more organized, more unified, and getting larger. Just something that Indonesia will not be able to contain anymore, I think. And that's why. And it also shows how persistent and how determined the people of West Papua of their demand to be free from Indonesia. And I think this is where the international community, including the Australians, it's just said at the doorstep of Australia, that Australians must pay attention to this decades-long yearning of independence at the Australia's doorstep, because West Papuans helped Australia during the World War II. West Papuans stood up to fight with alongside Australians, so it's time for Australia to also pay attention to these people who have been suffering under Indonesian rule.
You mentioned an increasing amount of repression by the Indonesian military. What does that look like on the ground? Are we talking about shoot on sight or arrests? What is the Indonesian government doing?
Armed police and soldiers have been increasingly came to visit schools in West Papua to indoctrinate the school children. And this has led to the shooting of two teachers by the Liberation Army, because Liberation Army, according to their observation, that these two people were Indonesian soldiers undercovers. And also the public discussions are often being forcibly dispersed, public demonstration as well, forcibly dispersed and arbitrarily arrested. And then West Papuans, this past 2 years, 1.5 years actually, that they more and more people are being arrested over Facebook posts criticizing Indonesian security forces, and they're accused of hate speech about of it. It's ridiculous. There's no space to speak. And the latest is in late April, Indonesia labeled West Papuan freedom fighters as terrorists. So this is definitely escalating the cycle of violence in West Papua, and it is escalating. Last night, in the middle of city called Ilaga, that's the capital of Puncak Regency, there were shootouts between Indonesian security forces and the Liberation Army in the middle of the town. Today, the national chiefs of Indonesia's military, police, and intelligence arrived in West Papua to discuss about the armed conflict situation. More civilians have fled and they are displaced, not being assisted, and because in West Papua is de facto under de facto ban for international journalists, and international organizations are under a de facto ban from entering West Papua. This is why these displaced people are not assisted. These the youths that are being neglected, the displaced youth, because they are so desperate. Some of them, or many, I don't know, there's no definite number, but we know that these youths, due to their desperation and hatred of how the military operations keep repeating in West Papua, they have been joining the Liberation Army. That's why the Liberation Army is getting stronger. And this is just a cycle of violence. This needs to be stopped through a peaceful resolution.
Given that pattern of repression that you've outlined, it is remarkable but very welcome that sections of the Indonesian left or progressive forces in Indonesia are beginning to speak up openly in defense of West Papua. How has that come about? Why have things shifted inside Indonesia itself?
The turning point was in November 2016, that Indonesian, after going through consultation with the non-violent wing of West Papua movement, that in November 2016, a group of Indonesians declared their support for right to self-determination of West Papuan people. And since then, these Indonesians are also subjected to harassing surveillance, arbitrary arrest, arbitrary detention, torture, but not the same scale to the West Papuans. They're subjected to it, but not as worse, as bad, I mean. But yeah, so that's the turning point. And then this group called Front Rakyat Indonesia Untuk West Papua, Indonesian People Alliance for West Papua, it's getting larger and larger. And also the I think the there's also the influence of social media, that minds can meet on social media to discuss ideas. That's also helped, I think. And also another turning point is the Papuan Lives Matter movement last year, 2020. Because in the peak of the Black Lives Matter movement, Indonesian prosecutors at that time sought up to 17 years under treason charges against black political prisoners, the black West Papuans, because of their role in the 2019 West Papua uprising. So many Indonesians also in social media jump in showing support for Black Lives Matter movement in the US. And then some Indonesians say, hey, do you even know that we also have black problem in Indonesia, West Papua? And then suddenly it just explodes. It just exploded that people sharing news, sharing the documents, data by NGOs about the human rights violation in West Papua. And then that's in May and June, throughout June and July, I think, that on daily basis, there were multiple webinars on West Papua initiated by Indonesian people, and also unprecedented support by Indonesian student bodies across Indonesia at that time. 32 Indonesian student bodies that declared their support and call to release Papuan, the black Papuans on trial. That I mentioned, up to 17 years. And then, it succeeded, basically, that the Indonesian racist court still had to find West Papuans guilty, no matter what. But they were sentenced to very low sentence. That's 11 months in prison compared to the 17 years demand by the prosecutors. So that is definitely, there's political intervention. And that's how we are still, we are still growing.
You mentioned Australia's responsibility. We in Solidarity are very aware that Australia has an overarching, I'm talking about the ruling class now, not ordinary people, that Australia has an overarching strategic interest in what they call stability across the northern approaches to Australia, that the shipping routes are more important than human rights. And the Australian governments over the years have supported many reactionary governments in the name of stability. But are there also economic interests for Australian capitalists in West Papua? Are they making money out of this repression?
Yeah. That's definitely, and especially under Lombok Treaty, That's the treaty made between Indonesia and Australia after 46 West Papuan refugees seeking asylum in Australia in 2006, I think. So in that Lombok Treaty, it's basically, I think, what prevents Australia from speaking out more about the atrocities in West Papua. And due to the recent terrorist labeling towards West Papuan freedom fighters, it means that the detachment 88 is special force in Indonesia to handle anti-terrorist groups. This detachment 88, notorious for its human rights violation, is trained and funded by Australian government. The Australian taxpayers have grounds, have justification to demand more transparency and more accountability, because their money, Australian taxpayers' money, is being used in the new future to conduct human rights abuses in West Papua.
In conclusion, what would you say to workers and students in Australia? What can we do to aid the struggle for liberation in West Papua?
I think at the end of the day, despite the reluctance of the Australian government to act more in West Papua, but I believe at the end of the day, it's the people that will change, that will create change. So we have to consolidate. Let's make conduct more public discussions to really understand what's happening in West Papua, because it's West Papua is blocked to foreign journalists, and so that's why no wonder you are hearing really little about it. So let's do more public discussions, and hopefully we can take to the streets together when urgent situation arising, which is very imminent. And after that, finally, after we understand, also writing to your MPs about to raise West Papua issue during parliamentary session, and also, let's discuss, because like I said, by opening, because detachment 88 will be deployed to West Papua, this is direct link to has direct. Linked to Australians people, because it's Australian taxpayers' money is being spent there.
Thank you for that. We obviously send our solidarity greetings to the movement in West Papua, and also to progressives struggling for change inside Indonesia itself. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much, David.